Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Rebecca Carlin.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, and represent the views and opinion of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I will share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, which is the biggest epidemic the world has ever known, please go to my website, www.drcarley.com, that's drcarley.com, and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases, as well as how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box to this degree. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer to teach people how to reverse these problems with natural remedies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on a history alone. I do not have to see people in person. Please call me at the number on my site if you would like to learn how I do consults. And if there's a problem with my phone, as I've had quite a few problems the last couple of weeks, please also try emailing me. I ask you to consider the information I give using your own God-given common sense detector and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. The toll-free number is 877-270-8714. That's 877-270-8714. It is fine if you use only your first name, and all shows are also archived. Every week I will answer the question, "What is ailing America?" with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. Tonight's show, What's Ailing America? My response is genetic manipulation. Now, I just want to read you a quote that I received from a doctor who also speaks out against vaccines that I highly respect. His name is Harold Buttram. And he wrote me in a letter dated June 7, 1999, and I quote, "The principle of mandatory mass childhood immunizations is inherently a great evil, sowing the seeds of destructive genetic changes which could carry the races to extinction." That's how serious this problem is, folks. And that's just talking about vaccines in themselves. Tonight, I'm going to be getting into some of the genetic manipulations that are being done, including the introduction of vaccines where they're actually introducing other foreign DNA into our very cellular structure. And in my opinion, this is what they call in the Bible the mark of the beast, because this, in fact, could lead to the extinction of our species. Before I get into that, though, I just want to give you some information on a couple of articles that I came across recently in the paper. The first one I'm going to read from was published in the Charlotte Observer on February 26th of 2007, and it's in regards to cancer research, and the question is, does drug industry backing skew trials? In other words, does the fact that the drug industries are funding so many of these different studies that are being done, does this actually cause the results of the studies to be skewed to their favor? Now, you know the answer is yes, because if a drug company funds a trial, they're of course going to use statistics to twist and spin the data and make it come out to look like their drugs are much more effective than they really are. And it's unbelievable that these kinds of things are allowed to go on. It actually states in this article that a Harvard School of Public Health paper published in 2005 estimated that drug companies finance up to 70% of all clinical trials done in the United States. Drug companies invested $15.5 billion in clinical trials during 2006, according to the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America. This is called a conflict of interest. By definition, for the drug companies themselves to be funding the trials that are being done with their drugs, obviously it's self-evident that if a researcher is doing a study on a drug, they know that their funding source, the pharmaceutical company that made the drug to begin with, is not going to continue to fund that researcher's work if the research does not come out to show that their drug works. So this is what you have to realize, especially when you're participating in these clinical trials. I just had a call from a new client the other day who has breast cancer, who had the usual chemotherapy and radiation, and now that her cancer has metastasized, that's just a medical term for spread, throughout her body, the doctors are telling her that there's nothing more they can do, so they've offered her the opportunity to go to Duke University and be involved in a clinical research trial. They always make it sound like this is a wonderful opportunity. You're going to have a chance to try a cutting-edge drug that's now just coming out to alleviate your problem. But what you have to realize is that what you're actually being used as is an experimental guinea pig. They've done their tests on the animals, and now they need to do tests on humans. And by offering yourself up in such a fashion, that's exactly what you're doing, is offering yourself up as an experimental guinea pig. And it really hurts my heart to hear how many people that call me have been offered this opportunity and they seriously consider it, because of course the people that are promoting these different clinical trials are touting them as a wonderful opportunity to cure their disease. Just so you know, that word cure is only allowed to be used for drugs. That has actually been written into law, and if anyone that doesn't use drugs is able to reverse the problem and they use that word cure, they will be put in jail. So that's why I always tell people, I don't treat anything, I don't cure anything, but I can teach you how to reverse your disease, and that's what I do. Now, another very chilling quote that I'm going to read to you comes from an epidemiologist at Marshfield Clinic Research Foundation in Wisconsin. And at this particular clinical research foundation, they're doing all kinds of tests, and these tests happen to be on the use of a new antibiotic that's never been approved for use in animals, and they're going to be using it in cattle. And they know that this is going to lead to increasing problems with superbugs. Superbugs are drug-resistant organisms that can then no longer be treated with any conventional antibiotics. And what they're doing by introducing these antibiotics into the food chain is actually introducing it into the human population, of course. And this is what's happening when you're eating your meat. This is why I always tell people, if I were you, if you still want to eat meat, after everything they're doing to the meat, between putting them on the agri-farms and hoarding them in small little areas where oftentimes they can barely even turn around, and treating them very badly and slaughtering them in a very inhumane way, they use pesticides on them to prevent them from having different exposure to pests that are in these farms. They give them antibiotics. They give them growth hormone in the case of cows to force them to make more milk than is even, you know, comprehensible. They just become milk machines. All kinds of other things they're doing to these animals. But in regards to this drug being tested in cattle for pneumonia treatment, despite warnings from the AMA, this clinical researcher in Wisconsin said the following: until you show us a direct link to human mortality from the use of these drugs in animals, we don't think you should preclude their use. We know we could drive more resistance genes into the human population. So he's saying on the one hand that he knows that they're going to be driving more drug-resistant genes into the human population. But this researcher is stating that instead of them having to prove a drug is safe and then approving the drug for use, everything has now been twisted around 180 degrees, whereas to now they have to prove that it's doing a bad thing once it's already being used. So once again, what they're doing is using the animal and human populations and as guinea pigs. And what's going to happen if they start using this antibiotic in cows and it causes even more drug resistance and different problems continue to escalate at a never-ending rate? What are they going to do to take it back? Once those genes are introduced into the first the animal population, because that's what happens when you give a drug to an animal or a person, and it turns out that the antibiotics never actually eliminate all the organisms. Some of them will be eliminated, but the rest of them will actually become super bugs. These are bugs that are actually able to not only grow in a environment that is soaked with these antibiotics, but in many cases they actually become able to thrive in those environments. And what's going to happen when that happens? How are they going to take that back? Of course, there's no way they're going to be able to take it back. And this is what you have to realize, that the FDA, which I call the Fraudulent Drug Administration, which we are paying our tax dollars for to protect us because of the fact that they're now completely controlled by the pharmaceutical cartels, they're actually doing the exact opposite. They are allowing things to be done, which anyone with common sense would realize is totally insane. And this is what we're paying for. And this is why you have to get involved, folks, because if you don't have your health, you have nothing. And if we don't stop these mad scientists from doing what they're doing, they are going to continue to do more and more incomprehensible scientific things that are actually going to possibly cause our species to go into extinction. And this is no exaggeration. And I'm not saying this to scare you, because the good news is that you can learn about natural things to do. You do not have to go to the white coats and get all these different drugs. What you need to do is educate yourself, learn about what's going on, and understand that you are what you eat, you are what you breathe, you are what you think, you are what you take into your body. And you have to be very mindful of what you are taking in to protect yourself and your family. It can make the difference between life and death. And this is no exaggeration. And of course, we have new information coming in now in another stealth tactic. The FDA is trying again to put a limit on our nutritional supplements. There's a lot of information out there on the internet about this. I really do encourage you to check into these things, because why on earth would the FDA be clamping down on natural supplements when they're allowing all of these other insane things to go on? There's no other conclusion that one can come to except for the fact that there is a genocidal agenda afoot here. And you are going to realize that that is in fact the truth. I have done much research on this subject, and that's why I'm able to speak in terms such as this without fear of any rebuttal from anyone, because I have the documents to prove it. And of course, this is a very evil agenda that's going on, and the only people that are going to stop it is us. Our elected representatives are getting fistfuls of dollars in their back pocket from the pharmaceutical cartels. As a matter of fact, there's 2 to 3 times more pharmaceutical lobbyists in Washington than are even in Congress. And these are the people that are actually deciding our health care policies in this country. This is a total conflict of interest. On the one hand, they're telling us that we have to be very careful of these alternative supplements, while they're letting all these dangerous drugs and other unbelievable mad scientists, cloning techniques is one thing we're going to be talking about tonight. They're letting all these different things happen. How could that possibly be? What is going on here? And if you don't think that this is true, folks, you really have to start doing your research, because it's coming on fast and furious. As a matter of fact, it was quite amazing in this new legislation I was reading about that they're actually proposing to pass through the FDA another attempt to limit our nutritional supplements. The public comment period ends on April 30th, and then they're going to go ahead and limit certain things. And it's really quite amazing some of the things that they have in mind that they're going to actually put under scrutiny as a alternative medical treatment. In fact, things like juices and even using a Pilates ball for exercise. A Pilates ball, you know, that's one of those large rubber balls that you can lay on and do different exercises and things. This is a medical device, as per these people. And you see what they're doing, because they are so threatened by natural supplements, which was named alternative medicine by the powers that be. Once you realize the benefits of using natural supplements, those things that our Creator made to keep us healthy, you will then understand that it is the traditional medical treatments, those medicines that merely manage our disease, those are the alternative treatments, and if I were you, I would stay away from them as if your life depended on it, because I can assure you that it does. But once again tonight, we're going to have to get into vaccines. Vaccines are my specialty. I am the only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases in the world, as far as I know, and that was a miracle how that happened as well. But it's becoming so obvious to me that these inoculations are in fact the technique whereby they're decreasing the population, not only decreasing the population, but causing all autoimmune diseases and cancer, because this is how people get sick and then have to go to the white coats to get their prescriptions for the pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a very important link on my website. It's about a halfway down to two-thirds of the way down the homepage, and I'm still working with my webmaster on revamping my website so that it's more user-friendly. But you will see a link there to a group called Byron Child in Australia. And they've now changed the name of their organization. It's called Kindred. But I totally recommend to you that you order a back version of their magazine when it was called Byron Child, B-Y-R-O-N. Child, C-H-I-L-D, and this is volume 13 from March to May 2005, and the title of that article is A Dragon by the Tail. And in this article, which involves massive amounts of research done by these people in Australia, you will learn how there's all kinds of conflicts of interest in regards to the different alphabet agencies that are promoting vaccinations. And one of the key groups that is being used to do so is called the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, GAVI, G-A-V-I. And the first meeting of this ominous task force was held in Davos, Switzerland in 2000. Its members include Microsoft's Bill and Melinda Gates, the United Nations World Health Organization, the Rockefeller Foundation, who has been involved in eugenics, by the way, for many years, and the World Bank. The national governments of Russia and the USA are also involved. And we're going to be talking more about the World Bank in a minute. But what I want you to do is please check out that very important edition of that publication by Byron Child. Once again, it's volume 13, March to May 2005. You can order the backdated versions from that website. And what you will see is the extent to which these conflicts of interest are happening. There are so many different organizations that are being funded by the government and by these nonprofits, such as Bill Gates Foundation. Bill Gates donated $1 billion, in to promote the vaccinations going into third world countries. Now, very interestingly, if you remember a few years ago, Bill Gates was having a lot of trouble with the Justice Department going after him for his Microsoft having a monopoly, and they were, you know, threatening to drag him through the courts for untold, who knows how long they would, you know, drag this on, and not only the expense involved, but the time involved and the stress involved. And it's very interesting how when Bill Gates decided to start his nonprofit foundation, that Microsoft suit just kind of went away. And I want to make you also aware that the major religious organizations, including the Vatican, high-level Jewish rabbis, Muslim people at the higher levels, and Buddhist people at the highest levels, have also joined together to create a billion-dollar vaccine bond. Now, how can the church be getting involved with inoculations when everything in the Bible talks about keeping the temple clean? How can they possibly promote the injection of viruses and formaldehyde and mercury and aluminum and untold numbers of contaminants? Not to mention the fact that so many of these vaccines are being made out of aborted fetuses. How can this be? The only way this can be is that the religious organizations have also got on board in regards to us needing to decrease the population, because that is in fact what the agenda is, and I'm going to read proof of that to you in a minute. But I want to make you aware of a very important conference that's coming up from June 4th to June 6th of 2007 in Washington, D.C., and this is the 5th Annual Biodefense Vaccines and Therapeutics Conference. And on their website, what they're recommending to people is to join the nation's biodefense leaders and identify opportunities for your participation in meeting the nation's need for biodefense vaccines and therapeutics. Now, people really should be starting to ask themselves the question, since Saddam didn't have any weapons of mass destruction, since we don't have any proof that anyone else has any weapons of mass destruction along the biological lines, how do they know that we're going to be needing these vaccines? How does that work? And I will answer that question for you, because the pandemics, especially the bird flu pandemic that they keep scaring us about, and they've been talking about this for years, it's not a matter of if, but when. It's coming. How do they know this? The way they know this is that the bird flu pandemic will be caused by the bird flu vaccine, just like it was in 1918, the Spanish flu epidemic that they keep quoting and talking about, the biggest pandemic we've ever had in the world, was in fact actually caused by inoculations given to soldiers in World War I. And I invite all of you to read one of the most important books I've ever found, which goes into this in great detail. It's entitled Vaccination, the Silent Killer, A Clear and Present Danger. And the authors are Ida, I-D-A, Honoroff, H-O-N-O-R-O-F, and Eleanor McBean, M-C-B-E-A-N. This is not an easy book to find, but there are still some editions available on eBay and places like that. And this is a very important book for all of you to read, because one of the most important sections in this book talks about the fact that one of the authors of this book actually brought a lawsuit against the government in order to stop the swine flu vaccine, which was being forced on the public in the 1970s. And it's quite amazing. You can't make this stuff up, how the insanity of what we're dealing here with here, because what happened in that lawsuit in the 1970s is that a federal judge dismissed the case and told the litigants that they did not have standing. And I'm quoting from page 94 of the book. When asked how we could get standing, We were told that, and I quote, if you took a shot and dropped dead, that would give you standing. Now, how can you have standing in a lawsuit if you're dead? In other words, they're saying that unless you were personally killed by the vaccine, you are not able to go forward with a lawsuit. And this is the kind of insanity that we're dealing with. So you have to understand that we're dealing with corruption at all levels. The judiciary, the medical mafia, the pharmaceutical cartels, the Defense Department, all of them are involved in this. This is a genocidal agenda. I know that sounds hard to believe. How could our government have our worst interests at heart? Well, if you're not starting to smell a rat, just looking around at what's going on in the world today, then I don't really know what to say to you. But if you're listening to my show, I know that you're at least wanting to open your eyes. And I invite any of you to call in with questions and ask me how I know these things. I'm going to be quoting from specific documents for you to realize where I get this information. And I want to let you know that I do realize it's very hard to believe these things. We are dealing with an evil that is so intense that anyone with a conscience could not possibly comprehend it. But we must realize what's going on. For it's only by us raising our consciousness to a level where we can overstand and look down and see the puppet masters and what they're actually doing that we are going to be able to protect ourselves, our family, our country, and our world. Because it's not just with biological agents that they're committing these genocidal atrocities. There are so many other things going on with the air and the water and everything else that they're doing. Obviously, we cannot trust the powers that be to take care of us. We have to take care of ourselves. Now, as I always say, I do not promote a revolution. I think there may come a point where things get a little ugly when enough people wake up. But all we have to do is raise the consciousness of enough people until we obtain critical mass. Once we obtain critical mass and enough people realize what's really going on, these people that are causing these atrocities are going to have to run like roaches to hide, because it's like the emperor having no clothes. And I've had personal situations in my own life where I haven't wanted to believe that somebody that I thought was going to do the right thing, and I believed in this person, and they kept promising they were going to help the mission and do different things, until eventually it became crystal clear that the exact opposite was happening. It's very hard to realize these things. It hurts. It hurts your heart. You can't believe that this evil exists, but it does exist. But we don't have to be afraid of it, because there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And the truth shall set us free. So at this biodefense conference in Washington, D.C., in June, in the first week in June, they're going to have every alphabet agency that you can possibly imagine coming to give different recommendations to different pharmaceutical manufacturers and other mad scientists as to how they can get a piece of the pie. Because as I already told you, there's a $1 billion vaccine fund that's been created by Bill and Melinda Gates. There's a $1 billion vaccine bond that's been created by all these religious organizations. And there's all kinds of other monies coming from places like the World Bank. And I'm going to be going more into that in a moment. There's billions and billions of dollars to be had by these individuals who are manufacturing these toxic poisons to be unleashed on humanity. And as I stated at the opening of the show, there's very little oversight. As a matter of fact, they do their own research. They publish their own data. The people making the drugs are funding the clinical studies. And the FDA is so just overwhelmed with people from the pharmaceutical cartels. It's a revolving door with the drug companies and the FDA. They will be a high-level person within the drug companies. They will move over to the FDA. They will make sure that their drugs get, you know, passed through. And then they will go back to their pharmaceutical companies for employment because, of course, that's where they have all the major bucks coming in. That's where they get all the golden parachutes. And there's a very important example of this in the case of aspartame. I recommend all of you go to the website www.doorway.com. That's D-O-R, just one O, doorway.com, D-O-R-W-A-Y.com, and order yourself a copy of the video Sweet Misery. This is one of the best exposés I have ever seen that goes into how aspartame came to be actually approved by the FDA when initially the FDA decided that it was one of the most toxic substances that had ever been brought before them. And guess who was the one that pushed it all through, folks? Donald Rumsfeld, our ex-defense secretary. These are the kinds of people that are involved in pushing these things through. Because, in fact, aspartame is another biological agent which is being used to hurt people. And you will learn more about that and all the evidence to prove that's true if you get that videotape. Now, the thing I wanted to cover tonight is, in fact, everything they're doing with our DNA. And some of the most amazing articles are coming into me, and I thank all of my listeners and clients. I get hundreds and hundreds of emails every day just with people forwarding me articles that are coming up about vaccines. Little did I know when I started doing this work about 10 years ago that I would be like right in the midst of things. I mean, there's no greater push that's going on right now in terms of quote-unquote health than the vaccine issue. They are coming up with vaccines for everything. But what's really frightening is what they're doing with the DNA. Now, I was forwarded an article from MSNBC about how researchers in the UK want to fuse human DNA with cow cells to study disease. Fusing human DNA with other animals. I mean, this is totally against everything in the Bible. This is totally against any kind of common sense. We don't know what kinds of things they're going to unleash. And they have no interest in what they're going to unleash because all they're interested in doing their insane research and getting all kinds of government and other grants and coming up with these different things that they're going to be using that are going to get into the population and are going to hurt all of us. And once you unleash a beast like this, how do you get it back? How do you get the beast back in the cage? You can't. Now, what's really amazing is that, as it reports in this article, three respected teams of British scientists have reignited the moral debate over inserting human genes into animal eggs. Their goal is to eliminate the need for a woman to donate eggs for the cloning of human embryos. Let me read that again. Their goal is to eliminate the need for women to donate eggs for the cloning of human embryos. I suggest you all watch the first Matrix movie again. You know, it's really amazing how apparently these things are really happening. They're finding ways to create humans without needing people to procreate. Excuse me. So they say that what they're going to do, their research goal, is to enable them to better understand the genetic causes of many diseases and design personalized medicine. All three UK teams aim to get around the bottleneck of not having enough eggs from women by taking DNA from patients sick with a disease, like Alzheimer's, and fuse it with cow eggs that have had all their genetic material removed. The hope is that the human DNA will trick the eggs into thinking they're pregnant, beginning development. And this is what Stephen Minger, director of the Stem Cell Laboratory at King's College in London, says. You can model Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease in a dish. You can model Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease in a dish. This is what they're doing, folks. They're creating these diseases in a dish. And once they figure out how to create them in a dish, there's ways that they can get them into you. And the most common way that they do so is by inoculation. Now, another insane article that I was forwarded was an article about how cows in Brazil are now being genetically manipulated to secrete human insulin in their milk. And we also have another story from the Times of India, June 15th of 2006. The world's first breed of designer chickens have been genetically modified to lay eggs capable of producing drugs. You see what they're doing. They're doing all kinds of things to take our various food sources. And, of course, genetically modified organisms and crops is a very big one. And these mad scientists are genetically altering these animals and these plants to make drugs. First of all, we don't need these drugs. The drugs are part of the problem. What we need to do is keep these genetically modified things out of us in order to protect our own DNA genome from being genetically engineered to the point that it causes extinction of the human race. But this is what the kinds of things that they're doing. In India, they've bred a 500-strong flock of birds that's actually able to produce human interferon in one of these chicken lines. And they're saying that the eggs could produce drugs with the potential to fight cancer. Well, I'm going to be doing a show on cancer. I will prove to you that the cause of cancer has been known for over 100 years. It's been covered up by the powers that be, especially the American Cancer Society, which in its mission statement must go out of business the day after a cure for cancer is found. Now, I'm sure all of you realize that there are more people living off cancer, more people making a living off cancer than even have cancer. So they are going to do everything they possibly can to keep that cancer ball rolling. And now they're making these drugs from animals and plants that are allegedly going to treat cancer. You don't have to worry about cancer, folks. We all have cancer. Every one of us has cancer. It's a normal mechanism that occurs in the body when you're exposed to toxins, and I'll go into this in great detail on our further show on cancer. And all you need to not have that cancer cell develop into a tumor is have a working immune system. That's what we all need to do, is make our immune system work, and there are many natural supplements that can do so. And, of course, the most important thing you need to do to both reverse and prevent yourself from getting cancer cells developing into tumors is to detoxify the inoculations that have corrupted your immune system. And I strongly suggest, if you haven't already, that you read the paper on my website, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, Causing an Epidemic of Genocide. Now, I don't like to use these words like genocide. You know, that's a very hard word to hear. But unfortunately, I have so much proof, folks, that this is exactly what the agenda is. The powers that be feel there's too many people on the planet, and the easiest way to get rid of them is to inoculate them with disease. You see, we have all these wars going on, and of course, you know, the powers that be are making billions and billions of dollars off these war games, but it gets a little messy. And especially when you start dropping bombs and you have to clean up the mess afterwards. But what could be possibly easier than just inoculating people with disease and making them sick and then they die? And it's much easier. It's much cleaner. You just, you know, move out the dead bodies and take over the land. And this is going on in Africa. It's such a high level. It's beyond the pale. Now, there was also an article in my local paper here in North Carolina, the Charlotte Observer, on April 13th of 2007. The macaque monkey, they have decoded the DNA of this monkey, and they're claiming that the gene map could shed light on human biology and improve drug testing. And what they stated in this article is that in today's edition of the journal Science, researchers report deciphering the macaques, I hope I'm saying that right, DNA, and comparing it to the genetic blueprints of humans, and chimpanzees are closest living relatives. Among the most intriguing discoveries so far, a list of diseases where the same genetic mutation that makes people ill seems normal for these monkeys. And so the take-home message that they're stating here is that it gives you a glimmer of how subtle changes in DNA cause big trouble. Now, if you believe that they are trying to figure out why these monkeys do not get these certain diseases, even when they have certain things happening in their DNA as people have, I have a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. The reason they're trying to figure out all these things is because they want to make sure that if they're going to inoculate you with a disease, that that disease is going to take hold. And they have to figure out why this monkey is not getting the diseases as much as people are, even though it has the same genetic findings. These are the reasons that they're doing these things. And I'm also on an email list from a company called Epitomics, which is a company that makes antibodies, especially antibodies made from rabbits, for all kinds of things. It's really unbelievable. God only knows how many rabbits are being tortured at this company. But they have developed something called the epidermal growth factor receptor antibody. And what they have found is that this epidermal growth factor is involved in the proliferation and differentiation of normal cells. In other words, it's involved in a cell becoming specialized and doing what it's supposed to do normally. And what they have found is that activation of this particular receptor leads to a chain of events that results in proliferation of cells that can be overexpressed in a variety of human tumors of epithelial origin. And that's just a certain type of tissue that can cause tumors. And what they found is that the consequence of overexpression of this factor in tumors is an uncontrolled signal transduction through the receptor, which leads to increased proliferation, tumor growth, angiogenesis, which just means formation of new blood vessels that feed the tumor, and metastasis, which means tumor growth. So once again, they are studying every possible mechanism you can imagine that not only causes tumors to occur, but then also once these tumors occur, how will they be made to grow faster? And it's very sly, the way that they word these different articles, because when you read them with eyes to see, you can certainly realize that the only reason they could possibly be doing all these studies, of course, the powers that be knowing that the cure for cancer has been known for over 100 years, the only reason they could possibly be doing all these studies is because their actual agenda is to cause more cancer. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned on the show before, and I'll be going into this in more detail in my show on cancer, the National Institute of Health and the National Cancer Institute has been for years, since at least the late 60s, been studying viruses that cause cancer, and it's called the Special Virus Cancer Program. I have at least 2,000 or 3,000 pages of documents. I think I have 8 different years of the report put out by this group, which involves every veterinary school, every medical center, university teaching center. The CDC is involved. Every pharmaceutical company you can imagine is involved. All of these different groups are studying viruses to cause cancer. Now, they're not studying viruses to cause cancer to cure cancer, because viruses that cause cancer have only been recently emerging. They're emerging from laboratories. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of documentation that there was no such thing as cancer, 200 and 300 years ago, before inoculation started. Cancer started when inoculation started. Because before that time, when the world was not as polluted as it is now and people's immune system was working, even if they were exposed to something that was problematic and could cause tumor cells to occur on the scene, the immune system was able to take care of the tumor cells and they did not develop into tumors. So this is one of the major programs that's being funded by our government, is to make viruses that cause cancer. As a matter of fact, There was a Dr. Maurice Hilleman, H-I-L-L-E-M-A-N, who worked for the company Merck, Merck Sharp and Dohme, and they are one of the major vaccine manufacturers. He was touted as the vaccinologist, and he died in April 2005. And this was reported in his obituary that he was the vaccinologist of the 20th century. And Dr. Hilleman, his project purported to investigate the development of vaccines to prevent cancers that were caused by viruses. However, in 1962, Dr. Hilleman joked that the Russians would be no threat in the 1962 Olympics, as they would be dragging with tumors caused by the SV40 virus present in polio vaccines, and therefore they would be, you know, much heavier, and they would be so heavy that they would be dragging with tumors. Now imagine joking about such a thing. The SV40 virus is a DNA plasmid. That means a circular ring of DNA that was actually initially found in the rhesus monkey. And SV stands for simian virus. It was the 40th virus out of many different viruses that they found in these monkeys. And this actually was a contaminant, unless it was put in there intentionally, of the oral polio vaccine. And this is one of the main reasons that that vaccine was taken off the market, because they were culturing the vaccine in monkey kidneys. This virus was being transmitted to the vaccine, because that's one thing you have to realize, is that the tissues that are being used to culture these viruses and bacteria, there's no way that the tissues themselves can be separated from the actual viruses. When they make these vaccines in their laboratories, where they have to wear MOP4 gear, which is the same gear that people wear when they're involved in a biological terrorist attack, when they make these vaccines, there's no way to strain out all the tissue culture material. It is also being injected into you. You are being injected with monkey kidneys and all kinds of different animal parts, and now there's at least 13 vaccines that are made out of aborted fetuses. Now, they've known that this SV40 virus was a problem for at least 15 years before they finally took this polio vaccine off the market. And I was really quite horrified when I started going through the Special Virus Cancer Program documents, where I found that the SV40 virus has been used since way back in the 70s as a study technique in the Special Virus Cancer Project. This is one of the main viruses that they're using in this project. Now, how does that work? This should be a very scary thing for all of you, that they're playing around with these things. Now, I also have in my possession, in case you don't believe that this is actually being done intentionally, that there is a genocidal agenda here. There was actually a hearing in, let's see, and I have a transcript of this hearing in Congress, from July 1st, 1969, before a subcommittee of the Committee on Appropriations of the House of Representatives, and this is on page 129 of that hearing, and this is what, let's see, a doctor by the name of MacArthur stated, and this happened, these hearings evolved from directives issued by National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger just prior to his issuing his most extensive depopulation report, National Security Memorandum 200. And Dr. MacArthur testified in these hearings, and I quote, "Within the next 5 to 10 years, it would probably be possible to make a new infective microorganism which could differ in certain important aspects from any known disease-causing organism. Most important of these is that it might be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious disease." And this quote is actually in my response to the CDC on page 6. So if you go to my website, you can read that for yourself. And this organism that they're talking about in this hearing that was done before the House of Representatives was obviously AIDS. And I have many documentations of the fact that the government made AIDS. Now, it's really quite amazing to me, as I've been doing this work and having my own consciousness evolve over the past 10 years, as I'm speaking to people and doing talks all over the country and doing many, many radio shows, not only on this network, but I'm also a guest on many other networks, and I talk about these things. And even when I go out and speak to people out there in the world and I say things like this, nobody's ever surprised. Everybody knows that AIDS was made by our government. This is what we're paying our taxes for. And this is causing deaths of untold millions of people throughout the world. And we paid for this, and our government developed this. And as a matter of fact, when I went to my 10th reunion for medical school, my medical school being State University of New York Downstate Medical Center at Brooklyn, which when I received my most recent alumni report, it was obvious to me that my medical school is now totally run by the government. Almost every researcher in there is doing an NIH study or some other alphabet agency study. And the last program that they had for the alumni that they were all asking us to come back to Brooklyn to attend, every single speaker was from one of these alphabet agencies. And so these are the people that are teaching medical students. And, of course, they always twist and spin things as though they're doing all these different researches, you know, looking for the answer to these scourges on humanity from these emerging viruses. But, of course, there comes a point where it's self-evident that the emerging diseases are emerging from laboratories. And this is what we're paying for, folks, and we have to put a stop to it. But in the last alumni function that I went to, this was right after I had learned that the government had, in fact, made the AIDS virus, and I had much documentation of this. And I was very excited to go there and to, you know, meet my old friends that I had graduated from medical school with and to tell them what I learned and that, you know, we have to do something. And I will tell you, it was like walking into the Twilight Zone. As I would talk to these people that I had gone to school with for 4 years, had known very well, and I would tell them what I knew, and not a single one of them was surprised. As a matter of fact, the look on their face was quite a bit like the look that George W. Bush had on his face back down there in Florida when he was reading to the children, and one of his aides walked into the room and told them that the 9/11, that the World Trade Centers had been hit on 9/11. That same kind of look is like, oh, okay. It's like no surprise. This is the look that they had on their face. And, of course, it was really quite amazing how I ended up sitting at a table all by my lonesome, because once people realized that I was not going to keep silence about this, I became ostracized. But that's okay with me, because I will not break bread with people who know that these kinds of things are going on and do nothing about it. As a matter of fact, the last time I went to a white coat, and this was probably 12 or 13 years ago, you know, I used to go for that yearly physical. I even got a mammogram one time before I realized that it does cause breast cancer. But I went to my doctor. His name is Surrender Shaw from Plainview, Long Island. I like to give him, you know, credit for his statement. When I brought all my documents to his office to share with him what I had learned, that our government, in fact, made AIDS, and his response to me was, "What do I care? I have a Mercedes in my driveway." These are the kind of people that you're dealing with, folks. I'm sorry to tell you that most of my profession has sold their soul for cash. And the ones that haven't sold their soul for cash are either like ostriches keeping their head in the sand and being totally ignorant. You know what they say, ignorance is bliss. Or on the other hand, they're filled with fear because they see what happens to doctors like myself. Yes, in fact, the medical mafia does come after you. But you see, if you don't stand for something, if you're not going to stand for the truth, then our entire species is going to be possibly eliminated. And this is not just true in the medical realm. This is true in all areas. We must stand for the truth. This is our job. This is what we're supposed to do. It's the right thing. You have to do the right thing and not be afraid, because miracles upon miracles have happened to me as I've done my work, and I have in fact met many people who are doing similar things to myself, not in the vaccine area. Most of the other people speaking out against vaccines are disinformers, are leading you down another path, such as stating that mercury causes autism, so that you'll believe that if the mercury is taken out, that the vaccines will be safe, or they're doing other things to lead you down another path. And most importantly, there's a lot of people out there just filling you with fear. You see, because fear will actually make you sick as well. My intention is not to scare you. My intention is to educate you as to what's going on and to make you realize that there are so many ways you can heal yourself. And I know people that have technology that can heal the planet, that can reverse pollution. There are so many wonderful things out there ready to go. The problem is that the powers that be do not want these technologies to come into the light of day, because for one reason, their oil companies will just dry up and not be necessary anymore. But for the other reason is because they don't want us to know that these things have been hidden for so long, because there's going to come a point when you realize that your autistic child that's, you know, been suffering all these years, and your parent that you watched die a most miserable and horrific death from whatever the problem may be, cancer, going through chemo and radiation and losing all their hair and all the different things that are going on. Once you realize that all this could have been prevented, worse yet, was possibly, and I'm telling you, intentionally done to decrease the population, it's going to make you angry. And once we all get angry enough, we will actually be forced to do something about it. Now, one of the most important articles in the gigantic mountain of evidence that I have, which takes up two entire rooms, is actually an article that is referenced in my paper, Inoculations, the Two Weapons of Mass Destruction. It is the eighth footnote that I mentioned, and I encourage all of you to get a copy of this article. It's entitled Genetic Vaccines, and it was published in Scientific American on July of 1999, pages 50 through 57. And in this article entitled Genetic Vaccinations, of course, what they're trying to do is get us to believe that genetic vaccines are going to be a good thing. But once you learn how to critically evaluate these different scientific articles that are coming out, and you don't have to, you know, have a PhD in science to understand these things. Even looking at the diagrams in these articles, it's very enlightening as to what these vaccines are going to do. Because they, of course, this article is written from a point of view of trying to make you believe that genetic vaccines are going to be a good thing. But when you actually read what genetic vaccines do, and let me just quote to you from one of the pages of this article, and this is what it says. The plasmids, now remember what I said a plasmid is, it's a circular ring of DNA that's been taken from something else, can be from a tumor cell, can be from an animal, can be from some mycological agent. The plasmids used for immunization have been altered to carry genes specifying one or more proteins normally made by a selected pathogen. At the same time, they exclude genes that would enable the pathogen to reconstitute itself and cause disease. So what they're telling us is that they're using genes from these bugs, but they're only taking certain genes and claiming that the genes could not reconstitute itself and cause disease. But of course, that's ridiculous, because there's all kinds of mutations that occur in these genes, and especially under certain circumstances where they're exposed to antibiotics and things of that nature. They're actually able to reconstitute themselves and to actually form these different diseases. But one of the most just horrifying aspects of this article is how they actually talk about the vaccines carrying these plasmids being delivered by injection or by a device known as a gene gun. And what this gene gun does is inject these plasmids directly into the body, commonly into the muscle, which puts the genes directly into some cells and leads to uptake by cells in the vicinity of the inserted needle. Once inside cells, some of the recombinant plasmids make their way to the nucleus and instruct the cell to synthesize the encoded proteins. So what they're doing is they're altering our very genetic structure. And remember the sentence I read to you from Dr. Buttram, which he said, these vaccinations could lead to our very extinction. And this is no exaggeration. They are altering our very genetic structure. And they're not only just using genetic vaccines. They're also doing things to the food. But before I get into that, I just want to also mention one very other important aspect to this. Because once again, just as I told you in regards to the fact that the tissue culture material is not able to be separated from the virus that they're injecting into you when they're making these vaccines, the same thing happens with these different culture media substances having genes in them as well, that the genes in the culture media itself can jump into the viruses and cause all kinds of mutations as well. And I can assure you that this is how they in fact created all these different viruses to cause cancer, because once they came up with this SV40 virus that causes cancer, and as I said, they've been studying this virus down at the Special Virus Cancer Program for at least 20 years now. Once they learn how to do that, then they can cause these same phenomena to occur in all kinds of other cells. And it's unbelievable for me to report to you, but it's true. I have a copy of it in front of me. There's actually now patenting of microorganisms going on. And there's a particular pathogenic mycoplasma. Mycoplasma being a, it's different than a bacteria or a virus. It's actually a organism that lacks a cell wall. And there's a pathogenic, meaning a disease-causing mycoplasma called Mycoplasma incognitus. The reason it's called incognitus is because it's almost impossible to test it for it. It hides all over your body. Many of these organisms go directly into your cell. You have to realize that once an organism goes into the cell, it doesn't cause an antibody to be created against it. It's not free-floating in your body. There's no test that can be done. And so these organisms are hiding in your cells and causing all kinds of problems. But we have a mad scientist by the name of Xinqing Lo from Potomac, Maryland. He works for the American Registry of Pathology in Washington, D.C., and in 1993, under patent number 5,242,820, Dr. Xinqing Lo actually patented this pathogenic mycoplasma. And in his abstract, this is what it says. The invention, I want to say that word again, invention. This is an invented pathogenic mycoplasma. Relates to a novel pathogenic mycoplasma isolated from patients with AIDS. The invention further relates to a variety of different forms of vaccines against mycoplasma infection in humans and or animals. Now, I always like to ask people, to ask the white coats and the other vaccine promoters, what is the difference between a mosquito inoculating you with a disease versus a white coat putting it in the syringe and injecting it directly into your bloodstream? What is the difference of that? But you see, what's so amazing is that they continue to create these emerging organisms, and then once they create them, and now we see they're patenting them, then they use the organisms to then make a vaccine, to have an excuse to inject you with more of it. And let me just inform you that we now have an AIDS vaccine nearing reality, and this is going to be coming out very soon. As a matter of fact, there was an article out of WXIA-TV in Atlanta on March 9th, 2007, where they are informing us that the AIDS vaccine is nearing reality at Emory. And this is out of Atlanta, Georgia. They have developed a new vaccine designed to kill the AIDS virus in as little as 3 to 4 years. In other words, it'll be coming out in as little as 3 to 4 years to be used on the public. And, of course, they're saying that this is going to save tens of millions of lives. And they're telling us how the vaccine uses a virus with some of the genetic material of the AIDS virus, but they claim, of course, that it's not enough for anyone to ever get the disease itself from the shot. They're claiming that the vaccine's success with the simian AIDS virus has been nothing short of remarkable. Not only did the vaccine prevent the infection, it kept it under control for the monkeys that already had it, putting it into a kind of remission. This is what they're claiming. Now, I want you to ask yourself, how would it work that a disease would be, you know, being infecting an animal, a person, or whatever? You've got the disease. How does it work that injecting more of the disease into your body is going to help your immune system fight it? If your immune system was working in the first place, when the pathogen was directly injected into you, you would actually be overwhelmed if it wasn't for the fact that, if the immune system was working in the first place, your immune system would have been able to develop an immune response to the pathogen in the first place. And if you were infected with the AIDS virus through any of the quote-unquote normal ways, you know, sharing needles or having sex and the different ways that AIDS can be spread, if your immune system was working, it would have been able to fight the disease off itself. How can they possibly get us to believe that injecting more of the agent into us is going to help our immune system fight it? It doesn't even make sense, but this is the kind of claptrap that they're trying to get us to believe. And another thing I would suggest you to check out on my website is the link to where it says a study of patients who develop HIV infection after enrolling in HIV vaccine trials that they're doing at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And this is a study. They actually put out requests for individuals to enroll in this study. And this is a very important thing for you to see how they twist and spin things. Because what they're saying that the purpose of this study is to find out more about how persons respond to HIV infection if they've received an experimental HIV vaccine before they became HIV infected. Now, if the HIV vaccine worked, then how could they possibly get HIV from the vaccine? There's no way this could happen. And you see, this is how they twist and spin things, because what's actually happening is that they're giving you AIDS when they give you the vaccine. And in fact, any antibodies that are produced when you get the AIDS vaccine are going to be the same as antibodies that are produced when you get AIDS from having it, quote-unquote, naturally. And eventually what's going to happen, if they force all of us to get this HIV vaccine, there's not going to be any way to tell who has AIDS, because, of course, actually all of us will get AIDS. And in the case of HIV, this is particularly amazing that they would tell us that this disease is transmitted by dirty needles, a dirty needle being a needle that's been infected with the AIDS virus. So how does it work that sharing needles between drug addicts is a bad thing because of AIDS infection, but yet taking an AIDS injection from a white coat and calling it a vaccine, that's a good thing? If that's not a dirty needle too, I don't know what is. So I want you to start asking yourself these hard questions, folks, because the bird flu vaccine is another one that's been approved. Go to the bottom of my website, click on some of those links to MSNBC, and read some of those articles about the bird flu, because it's not a matter of if, but when. But there are also homeopathic nosos so that you can protect yourself when your neighbor ignorantly goes to the white coat and submits to the bird flu vaccine and comes back and starts coughing and choking on you, you can actually take a homeopathic remedy that will get that bird flu virus out of you. So you don't have to be afraid of it. There's ways that you can protect yourself. But I please ask you to start to think about these things for yourself. Check things out for yourself. Don't believe me. The truth is out there. You can find it. And as you will see on my website, I've offered a $10,000 reward for any vaccine promoter to come on my show and prove me wrong. And it's been almost a year now, and although, you know, I've sent this to many different individuals and organizations, the CDC, the AMA, the American Academy of Pediatrics, no one will come on the show. And in August, I will be the keynote speaker at the Pennsylvania National Living Association Conference, and we're actually going to be making that a part of my presentation, is asking people to please come forth and, you know, kind of debate me on this subject. Prove me wrong. Would somebody please prove me wrong? Because I don't want to know what I know. For me to go to medical school and spend 17 years of my life after high school training to become a doctor and wanting that more than anything in the world and being so proud that I came to that the pinnacle of my life and that I was now going to help people, and then to have to see the ugly truth that, in fact, my profession has been so corrupted that they are now causing almost all diseases and cancer. I don't want to know this, but I do know it. And so I ask all of you to please help spread the word about this broadcast, ask other people to read the information, and to just consider it for themselves. Ask themselves the hard questions that I'm putting out there to you, especially the one as to not only how can a mosquito inject you with viruses and have that be a bad thing and then a vaccine is a good thing, but especially now that they're coming out with this HIV vaccine. Because if a dirty needle from a drug addict is a bad thing, then how does it work that a needle with an AIDS vaccine in it is a good thing? It makes absolutely no common sense whatsoever. And the only way that we're going to protect ourselves from having these different problems is if we start to check these things out for ourselves. Because we are the only ones that can protect ourselves. The government is obviously not doing it. And I know I'm going over a little bit tonight, but I just want to cover one last thing. You should make it aware unto yourself that this entity called the World Bank, which, when you think about it, a World Bank, what is the World Bank? What is that, okay? But this World Bank, and you've probably heard about Paul Wolfowitz and the little problems he's having, corruption involving his hiring of his girlfriend and giving her a gigantic raise, and this is nothing compared to the corruption that the bank is actually doing, but perhaps this will force Mr. Wolfowitz to have to step down, but they'll just get another minion in there anyways. But I want you to know that the World Bank formed a task force to plan a project called Innovative Financing Instruments for HIV and AIDS vaccines, which would provide a guaranteed market for AIDS vaccines. Under this plan, countries would secure either a loan or a gift, depending on their economic status, from the World Bank that they would promise to spend on an AIDS vaccine for the population. How is it that banks are getting involved in vaccines now, folks, and religious organizations are getting involved in vaccines? How did this become a new baptismal rite for the human population? How does that work? And the reason is because, obviously, the World Bank has an agenda to cause the population to be decreased. And there's also something else called advanced purchase contracts, which is actually something that was talked about in the Wall Street Journal on April 7th, 2005. And what it states in this article is that in a recent report sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Center for Global Development, a Washington, D.C. based think tank, recommends a new strategy for increasing the development of vaccines to prevent common but deadly diseases by making the vaccine market more attractive for pharmaceutical companies. So they came out with this concept called advanced purchase contracts, where pools of donors guaranteeing vaccine makers near market prices for a set number of vaccine doses. Now, interestingly, they did not mention the World Bank being involved in this article, but this is what's going on. Why do we have all of these different organizations pushing inoculation with disease? You have to start asking yourself that question. Asking yourself that question and doing the homework and the research to find the answer could save your very life and the future of your whole downline, your children and your grandchildren and their ability to maintain life. This is how important of a subject this is, folks. So on that note, I will say good night. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. I'm going to have a special guest on next week with me. I'm sure you will enjoy the show, to introduce you to somebody that's going to be on a future show herself, following mine, starting in May. So thank you very much, Don, for another opportunity to be on BBS Radio. Please spread the word about these broadcasts, folks, and if you think this was an important show, please do listen to the archives and check things out for yourself, because the truth will set us free. God bless you, and good night.